From KTOO, I'm Katie Anastas with a look at local and statewide news. A new report says visitors to Alaska's national parks and preserves spent more than $1 billion in the state last year. That spending, the report says, produced more than 16,000 jobs in Alaska. The peer-reviewed research was conducted by National Park Service economists.
It's really good for economic reports like this to come out every now and then.
Jim Stratton is a retired director of Alaska State Parks, who has advocated for conservation of national parks.
Because it reminds us that, you know, the wilds of Alaska have more value than just to extract them and turn them into, gold bars or gasoline. And that, you know, Alaska makes a lot of money off the natural resources in place.
Resource extraction is generally off limits in national parks. On other federal lands, Alaska's congressional delegation often advocates for mining and oil drilling. They say the state needs the jobs and the country needs the minerals and fuel. Glacier Bay National Park saw more than 500,000 visitors last year, making it the most visited of all the Park Service areas in Alaska. But most of the travelers were on cruise ships, and the report authors found they spend less than 50 cents apiece on things like lodging and recreation associated with their Glacier Bay visit. Denali saw slightly fewer visitors, but they spent twice as much. The report shows Alaska is in sixth place for park visitor spending, tied with Arizona. The study, though, relied on a different methodology for Alaska. The report says most Alaska tourists are on extended trips, so it's hard to allocate expenses to a specific park visit. The U.S. Assistant Secretary for Health, Admiral Rachel Levine, traveled throughout Alaska earlier this month to consult with tribal health organizations and learn more about the unique public health challenges of the state. Levine has a background in pediatrics and eating disorders. In her position, her office oversees several specialty public health programs, like those focused on climate and health equity, long COVID, and health issues for minorities. In Alaska, she prioritized learning about climate and health equity, LGBTQI+ health, and maternal health. In an interview as the trip was wrapping up, Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra asked her about what stood out from her time in the state.
I was here to listen and to learn about the public health challenges in Alaska and discuss potential solutions. So what stood out was trips to rural Alaska, to Nome and to Savunga, Kotzebue, Kayana, Utyavik, and meeting the people there, meeting the healthcare personnel there, but also just being in those towns and villages.
And I know you had meetings with tribal health organizations. What did you learn during the consultation?
We learned about the great work that they are doing, both in their towns, but also the villages that they serve, but also heard about a lot of the different challenges of doing that. You know, I think that they have made amazing use of telehealth in those areas and are just very innovative and creative. But there are difficulties in providing care for sometimes acutely ill people. I mean, stabilization and then transport throughout the state, challenges in terms of impacts of the weather. Some of the specific issues that we heard about were the impacts of climate change on the way of life in the towns and villages. We saw the impacts of climate change on traditional food sources.
In Alaska, we've seen overdose rates rise with the prevalence of synthetics like fentanyl. Are there solutions that you wish more states would use?
There are no quick fixes here. There's no magic bullet. I think it is really looking at different prevention strategies, which I know is being done in Alaska. I think the harm reduction strategies are very important. That can include naloxone. Naloxone reverses opioid overdoses. I think that there are opportunities for more medication for opioid use disorder, such as buprenorphine. There's still a lot of stigma associated with that it's a crutch. And we don't view it as a crutch. Medication for opioid use disorder is like we use medicines for other disorders. The medication, again, is not a crutch. It's not a cure. It's a treatment. And it can be a very, very powerful treatment.
I've heard from leaders in the field that eating disorders in the state have increased over the COVID pandemic, especially for young people. What do you wish Alaskans knew about eating disorders?
Sure. Eating disorders, particularly in young people, are treatable. And the vast majority of young people with anorexia, bulimia, et cetera, they completely recover. And I think that that's not widely known. I think that people tend to think it's a lifelong disorder, and it can be. It can become a chronic illness, but the vast majority do not. We have certainly seen an increase in eating disorders throughout the country during the pandemic, you know, really associated with a lot of the mental health challenges that young people have faced. There are not enough eating disorder treatment programs and professionals available. You know, I think that early recognition is really important. So recognizing the signs and symptoms of an eating disorder, because the more entrenched it gets, the longer it goes on, then the lot harder it is to treat.
Often in the U.S., mental and physical health are considered separate. Obviously, there's lots of intersections. Can you talk a bit about that?
The integration of physical and mental health I've always found very important and interesting, and that's what drew me to adolescent medicine in the first place. And I think it's so important now, especially coming out of the pandemic, because the physical and mental health challenges that we're seeing across the nation and Alaska are all related. Your mind and body are connected. And I think that that's one of the keys to medical care and public health in the future.
That was U.S. Assistant Secretary for Health, Admiral Rachel Levine, speaking with Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra. Levine visited villages and cities throughout Alaska at the start of the month, and she learned about Alaska's unique public health challenges so she can help identify solutions. Starting up and maintaining a small business can be a steep learning curve. A Southeast regional nonprofit aims to help alleviate the growing pains with the return of its rebranded small business competition. KSTK's Sage Smiley reports.
Walk into a gift shop in Southeast Alaska and you're likely to see cans of smoked seafood, jars of kelp salsa, and hot sauce lining a section of the store. Enter a liquor store and there may be glass bottles decorated with marine life distilled in Haines. Wildfish Cannery, Barnacle Seafoods, and Port Chilkoot Distillery are all success stories of the small business competition Path to Prosperity.
I really recommend their hot sauce, their bowl of hot sauce.
Mark Wheeler is a small business coach for Spruce Root, which runs the competition. Spruce Root is an Alaska Native nonprofit focused on building up small businesses and a regenerative economy in Southeast Alaska.
This word regenerative is kind of sticks in your mouth. It's like, what does that really mean? It feels pretty jargony, but it's really kind of thinking about sustainability for the next level. So it's like, how do we operate in this world and make things a little bit better? Not just how do we keep this thing going, but how do we improve the situation so our grandchildren and our grandchildren's grandchildren can have a future here?
Wheeler used to own a coffee and ice cream shop in Juneau, which was an early participant in the business plan program. He sold the shop last November, but says participating in the program shaped his business philosophy.
I hadn't thought about more the community sustainability, trying to build the social capital. And, you know, thinking about that really kind of shaped our business practices and was a big influence on us.
Wheeler says Spruce Root has retooled its business development competition this year. It's now called Business and Balance. It involves a 9-week virtual course, which will help participants create a business plan and financial projections.
And that plan can be really important, like for figuring out if an idea is feasible or not. But it can also really crystallize your thinking about your business. And sometimes people, you know, you just start a business and you're just going. And it's helpful to kind of pause and really think about the future and how you want to get there. And so I think, you know, working with our staff and going through the training and just thinking more in depth about it can really be helpful for folks.
The course and competition are open to people who want to start a new business or bring an existing business to the next level. Wheeler says this year there are three $20,000 prizes.
It can be used for pretty much anything that a person needs to bring their business to the next level. So it's not like, oh, I need to keep paying my rent or my employees. It's like, what do you need to invest in to bring your business to the next level? And two of those prizes are specifically for regenerative tourism businesses.
Plus, Wheeler says it's a good way to get to know other entrepreneurs around the region.
People that have gone through the program over the years kind of have built a loose network, because it's kind of lonely to be an entrepreneur. You know, you can't really talk to your employees and maybe your spouse doesn't want to hear about it anymore. So it's fun to have a network of folks.
Spruce Root is looking for more participants from all over Southeast.
I read the other day that the first half of 2023 was like more small businesses created than in 2019 by like 50% more. So it seems crazy, but the pandemic has really I think, spurred a lot of people to start their small businesses.
Beyond the business competition, Wheeler says Spruce Root has other programs to support burgeoning businesses and business-minded individuals. Workforce development programs, one-on-one career coaching, financial wellness training, and a few different loan programs for people who might not be able to get a loan from a traditional bank. In Wrangell, I'm Sage Smiley.
Spruce Root is taking applications for the business and balance course through the end of the month.